Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, God's Master Plan. Our text today is Luke, the second chapter, the first through the ninth verses. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Merry Christmas, everybody. And as I wish you a Merry Christmas today, I realize that sometimes the greeting itself can have a less than positive impact. Christmas for so many people is not merry. The song says it's the happiest time of the year. We want it to be the perfect season, but sometimes it's not. Our culture and the media have both loaded this season down with so many false expectations that even the greeting can sometimes be heavy and burdensome. Let's face it, this can be a sad and lonely time for so many people. Despite the many slick, manufactured images of idyllic scenes and beautiful decorations, there is no perfect Christmas. We all may have wonderful and meaningful family traditions, but we still invest a lot of time and effort trying to create our own version of the perfect Christmas, which can end up being exhausting. There is no way to recreate the hype. That's why it's so important to go back and look at the story, which was not the result of a television producer or an advertising campaign. The events that unfolded in Bethlehem were not created to produce the perfect Christmas. Indeed, these events were part of God's master plan. In fact, it is fascinating and scandalous in the way God chose to unfold his master plan in such a rough, rugged, bottom-of-the-barrel place. You know, when you tour Israel, and I suggest that all of you do that, you go to Bethlehem and they take you to the Church of the Nativity, where you stand in line for hours because pilgrims from all over the world come. And then you get to the place where they say Jesus was born, and all you can see is this tiny hole. You have to bend down and look into this glass, and it's a cave. That's why it's important to step back into the story and to understand just how commonplace and ordinary the physicality of this birth was. Jesus could have come as a king with marching bands and a royal procession, or he could have come as a general on horseback with sword held high, or flanked by thousands of other soldiers, but he could have come with a lot of pomp and circumstance. This was salvation incarnate. This was love incarnate. But instead, the greatest drama in all history began one night in a little nowhere place through the womb of a poor, unwed teenager in the form of a tiny baby. Not even a magical baby with special powers, but a regular baby unable to do more than lie there and stare and wriggle and make noises. A baby that had to be fed and changed. Shouldn't there have been some grander beginning? After all, this was the long-awaited Messiah. You have to put this in context. The needs of Israel were urgent at the time of Jesus' birth. Hebrew identity was maintained through the promise that God was going to send a Savior. The prophets had predicted that. Isaiah had prophesied Jesus would be born of a virgin. But who really listens to prophets? This was a crumbling, dying nation that had long been waiting for deliverance from political oppression, from poverty. The legacies of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had all but disappeared under the control of the Greeks and the Romans. That's why the people were so desperate for the one who would carry the government on his shoulders. What the prophets knew, and what we need to remember, is that God always moves in unexpected ways. There is no way we can box God in or figure God out or speculate on exactly how God is going to do what God is going to do. That's why Isaiah wrote, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are our ways God's ways. I always think to myself, what I'd do if I was God. If I was God, there would not be one liquor store in Roxbury. If I was God, half the cars on the Southeast Expressway would be gone. Aren't you glad I'm not God? You see, we have no idea God's logic, the way God moves. We're not privy to God's plans. But here's what I want you to know today. God has a master plan. We may not know it. It may not fit into our plans, but God has a master plan. That's the story of our faith. From the very beginning, we are the benefactors of God's divine surprises, God's master plan, and our goal should be to participate in God's plan, because God will surprise you. Abraham hears strange voices. Moses stumbles into a burning bush. A band of nomads become a holy nation, and Mary had a baby. This was a plan that had been in the making since the beginning of time, when sin entered the world. It would take time for this plan to unfold, but God's timing is impeccable. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son born of a woman. You know, we define time by kairos. That's the ancient Greek term, and that's in juxtaposition to chronos, which means human time. Kairos is the appointed time, in the fullness of time, within the purpose of God. That God chose a particular time and a particular situation and particular people to experience the coming of Christ and its physicality made this a kairos moment. But it also tells us a little something more. It confirms that God can step into any situation, that nothing is outside the realm of God's plan. While Luke links Joseph to King David's line, he does not claim Mary a part of any significant lineage. She's just a little nobody who grew up in a nowhere place who wasn't expected to amount to much. Then one day, as she was taking care of her mundane, humdrum life, the holy burst through the ordinary. The sacred sweeps into the routine, and everything for Mary and the world changes. When the angel appears to Mary, at first she's afraid. Then she engages in this conversation. How can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel says, you are highly favored. Now, I don't know why Mary was favored. She went to temple. She knew God. But there's nothing else in this story that says she was anything other than a teenaged girl. Maybe God favored her not because of what she did, but because of who God is. In the end, Mary says in Luke 1:38, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. If there is a lesson we need to understand about Mary, it is her openness to God's movement, her willingness to be part of God's plan. Mary had a baby who would bring the world the gift of salvation and eternal life. Mary had a baby, the song says, that would one day walk on water. Mary had a baby who would save other folks' sons and daughters. Mary was young, poor, had all the characteristics that to people of her day would make her seem unusable by God. But God had a plan for Mary, and Mary was receptive to the plan. We may be tempted to believe that our lives are too little or we're far too insignificant to participate in God's work. But there are many things to do. birthing new ideas, new possibilities, new dreams. You see, we all have a role to play in God's plan. We serve an efficient God. Even the innkeeper becomes part of the plan. God can use you as a blessing or an example. You see, the innkeeper said there's no room in the inn. That's an example of the world that doesn't have time for Christ. Everybody in the orbit of this birth is used by God. This story is one chapter, one amazing, one spectacular, one divine chapter in God's master plan. You see, every part of the birth story offers a lesson in trust. Mary had to trust in her spiritual experience. She had to trust God. She had to trust herself when she encountered the angel. She had to believe that that was from God. But the most important trust she experienced was the trust in God for his promises. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love is God's master plan. Radical, over-the-top, excessive, sacrificial love. Jesus was born in a manger in order to be hung on the cross. Jesus was born as an innocent in order to die without sin. And he did it all out of love for us. A perfect God in love with this imperfect world. That is the ground and the wings of our faith. And so when Mary looked in the face of that little baby, of all the things she hoped and trusted, what she saw was the pure love of God. We are a part of God's master plan of love. And I want you to think about what you do for love. Hoping, trusting, forgiving, supporting each other in the midst of this imperfect season, in the midst of this imperfect world. But by doing all of that, we play our part in God's master plan. The perfection is in the plan. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you